So just so you're aware, we're going to deviate a little bit from our normal standard operating procedure this morning. I hope that doesn't throw too many people off. But we talked about newness in Christ. Sometimes we need to look at things from a new perspective. So to begin this, nothing too crazy. Don't get worried. The title for today's message, we're continuing with the call for spiritual discipline, and we'll be talking about running the race today. So if you'd like to open your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, that'll be our main text today. Before we do that, though, I thought, you know, this text is very rich, and Paul expected us to really appreciate and understand the metaphor that he's employing here with regards to what it means to really run the Christian race. And I thought to myself, I don't like to run, so I'm the worst guy probably, or one of the worst, maybe, to consider this whole topic of running. And then I thought to myself, well, there is somebody in the congregation who actually does like to run, as crazy as that is. And his name is our brother Ben Hoostie. So I have asked him to come up here. We've got two chairs up here. We're going to have a brief little talk about running and how that applies maybe to discipline. So I'm going to invite Ben to come on up. And he has a mic, don't worry. And I'm going to ask him a few questions here before we look into our text today. Yes, these are all scripted, so you should not see this as a natural conversation. Okay, so Ben, the first thing I want to know, when you started to train for marathons, that's the big 26.2 mile one, right? What types of discipline did you have to take on to prepare for running marathons?
Yeah, I just want to preface this whole conversation. So John asked me a few weeks ago to talk about running, and I think before like he got done with a sentence, I'm like, yes. So I'm excited to be here. I hope you guys enjoy this little conversation. So first and foremost, I think about the mileage and the long runs that are required for training for a marathon. Typically every weekend I'd try to make sure that I get anywhere from about 16 to 24 miles in, typically on Saturday mornings. One of the challenges is dealing with various weather conditions. So when you wake up in the morning and it's 40 degrees and raining, having just come from bed, you know that it isn't 40 degrees and raining in bed. So that makes it, you know, sometimes your motivation isn't at all-time high at that point. I try to remove all barriers from preventing me from running. So, you know, I'll set out my clothes in the morning and make sure that I'm ready to go. So the decision is pretty easy. Another thing to realize is to understand what your immediate and long-term goals are. So discipline is going to be required to meet those goals. I know that if I hit the snooze button or skip out on a run, that won't help me in the long term, and it won't help me meet my goals, and it certainly won't help me on race day. One additional thing, it's also important to train specifically for the marathon that you're signed up for, so being detail-oriented is very, very important. So, you know, is the course hilly? If so, where are the hills in the course? What might the weather be like? What kind of fluids or energy gels are going to be out in the course? What am I going to eat before the race? What time of day does it start? So I try to take all those things into consideration as well.
Wonderful. Thank you. About how long would you say that it took you to get used to the discipline necessary to prepare for marathons?
I would say it took quite a bit of time. I think if you can find a good coach and some training partners, that helps out a lot. The accountability is there, and you have set times where you're running and distances, so that can be super helpful. You know, getting up early in the morning has been an adjustment for sure, and if you go to bed too late, you definitely pay for it the next day, and experience is a good teacher, so you realize that you want to be in bed earlier the next weekend or just in general. So,
I noticed you didn't answer my question, so I'll ask it again. About how long would you say that it took you to get used to this discipline?
That's tough. Maybe a year? I don't know, something like that.
Okay. Are there any downsides to the discipline necessary to prepare for a marathon?
Yeah, I would say sometimes you have to do things you don't really enjoy doing. So I had mentioned like going to bed early. I don't like missing out on things. So turning off the lights early and going to bed can be tough. Recovery is such a big aspect as well. So, you know, you have to do a lot of recovery things like taking ice baths and deep tissue massages and things like that, which aren't super enjoyable at the moment. Sometimes being disciplined means taking a day off and or cross training or going easy. And so, you know, sometimes we really have a lot of desire to push, and but you need to let your body recover. So that certainly can take discipline as well.
What benefits have you noticed from the discipline that you've employed for marathon training?
Yeah, I think discipline kind of is applicable to all aspects of your life, your spiritual life, schooling, work. You may have heard that life is not a sprint, it's a marathon.
I have heard that, yes.
So I think one of the things that's really interesting is throughout the course of any marathon buildup, whether that's, you know, a couple months or longer, you're going to have workouts where you're just clicking off the miles and you feel great and everything comes easy. But then on the flip side, sometimes you really get an opposite experience where everything seems tough, your legs feel dead, you're tired. And so being disciplined in that scenario is having a short memory and just knowing that you'll be all right, not dwelling on the past and getting hung up on any given day, but just realizing that that you know you're going to be in good shape. You know, one of the things I've learned about marathon training is focusing on myself and not what others are doing. And you know, we read in the Bible that comparing ourselves to others is foolish. You can it can be really easy to see what other people are doing, your peers and competitors, and try to get all anxious about that. But I just try to do what I can to get in the best shape that I can be before I toe the line on race day.
Okay, thank you. And final question. Through this whole process of training for marathons and long distance running, what particular things have you learned? What have you found to be true? What have you found to be beautiful about this type of discipline?
I've learned that discipline is a good thing, and it's certainly helpful in all aspects of life. Being disciplined allows us to get outside of our comfort zone, which may be challenging at first, but it's always rewarding. Hebrews 12:1 says that we should cut off anything that hinders in training and racing, and that's certainly, I think, applicable in life. There's a lot of noise and distractions that we can get caught up in. I've never regretted being disciplined and working hard. And being disciplined at first may seem like a challenge, but it does get easier once the habits are formed. When you are disciplined, you can reach your goals and maybe even exceed them and, you know, accomplish things that you never thought were going to be possible. There's certainly beauty in the process, and I think it's essential to, specifically in this context, enjoy all the training that leads up to race day as well.
Wonderful. One final question. Let's say someone here has been so moved by your description of the beauty of training for a marathon that they think, I'm going to go out and run one today. What would your advice be for them?
Don't. Come see me first. Yeah, it's definitely something that takes a lot of time and focus. And, yeah, you certainly have to work up to it. So.
Okay. Thank you very much, Ben. Appreciate
You're welcome.
That. I didn't need my Bible. Ask your patience just for one more moment. Running the race, the call for spiritual discipline. To be his disciple, to follow Christ so closely that you are his disciple. You're probably aware of this, but if you're not, I'll just let you know that to be a disciple actually means to be disciplined. You can tell those words are very closely linked together. Discipleship is involved with helping each other to learn the disciplines of what it means to follow Christ. The two words sound similar. They come from the same Latin root. When we talk about discipleship, we're talking about that concept, teaching and training one another. As Christ's disciples, we all have a spiritual call and a responsibility to lead disciplined spiritual lives. Not just spiritual lives, but disciplined ones. discipline doesn't come natural to us. I think we can all agree with that. And what Ben was describing there sounded pretty awful, actually. I don't like to run. But there's other ways that perhaps I can enjoy being disciplined that maybe he doesn't. But the point is that discipline is not a natural response to us. We like the freedom of our own comfort, right? That's something that's pretty natural. Discipline sounds like a great idea until someone puts a bag of Reese's Cups in my face or Ben and Jerry's ice cream. And then discipline doesn't seem like that great of an idea. All these highfalutin notions I have of leading a disciplined life start to go out the window. I've tried to convey three main ideas in preparing for walking us through this important teaching, this important understanding that we have about God's plans for us as to follow Christ. One is that Christ offers us an easy yoke. That's a promise that Jesus gave his listeners that if you follow me, if you learn of me, then my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That's a promise that Jesus gave every person who wants to turn their eyes upon him. Secondly, we are, though, hesitant to take him at his word. We're hesitant to take on that yoke of Christ because in so doing, we are then called to live as he did. And again, following Christ sounds like a great idea. A yoke, an easy yoke in life, light burden sounds like a great idea, okay, until someone gives us a bag of Reese's Cups or whatever that is for you. And the third thing I've tried to impress that I think the scripture bears out, it's not my idea, is the starting point for a spiritually disciplined life is confession, acknowledging where we need to be restoring our right relationship with God if we have fallen short, if we've allowed ourselves and our lives to fall into the patterns that are ungodly, that are unhealthy for us spiritually. Let's read our text this morning, verses 19 through 27 of 1 Corinthians 9. Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings. Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and I make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize. So many, many, many great principles. We're going to focus just for the sake of the time on what I think are some crucial ones that I want to bring out today for this particular message on this topic. Some observations. First of all of us are free. That's the blessing in Christ that he has set us free. But that freedom, there's a misconception about what that actually means. You are free, but not in the way that we think. Paul says, I am free. I don't belong to anyone. I'm not beholden to anybody. Christ has set me free from all of that. But I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. And this isn't a bunch of double talk where the Bible says, well, you're free, but you also have to do all these things. We have been set free. We know this. We have been set free to live the life that Christ wants us to live. There is great freedom and great abundance in that life if you trust the Bible. If you don't trust the Bible, you're going to find a whole lot of obstacles along the way. It'll feel like getting out of bed on a rainy 40-degree day and having to try to train for a marathon. We're free, but not in the way that we think. We've been set free for a purpose. and that as a new creation in Christ, that purpose is fulfilled as we follow and as we live like Christ himself. There is great freedom in that. We are under Christ's law, and that is the law of love and grace. Spiritual discipline, and this is very important that I say this because I think the scripture teaches it, spiritual discipline doesn't make us righteous. It leads us to godliness. So we need Christ's righteousness as we start and as we walk on the spiritual path. Every day we have to be confident that it is his righteousness, his blood that covers us. And then as we realize what he has done for us, we realize the work he is doing in us and the work he wants to do in us. At that point, we have this urge, we have this strong desire, this yearning for godliness. Oh, that I could follow him and be like him. As the song says, oh, to be like thee. That is legitimate, sincere spiritual discipline. That's a spiritual life that is really taking faith seriously. That's not treating faith like it's lip service. Is godliness the goal for you? In this passage, it tells us, and Paul likens this, starting in verse 24, that we've been set free. Paul said, I'll do whatever it takes to try to win someone to the beauty of the gospel. But I have to run. It's like a race, he says. And we have been set free to run freely. Paul didn't feel any compulsion or any, he had no hesitation. He had no hesitation about living as a Greek so that he could win some Greeks, or as a Jew so that he could win some Jews, or living as someone who was weak so that he could win those that are weak. He had no worries about any types of restrictions about that. He just wanted to run. He just wanted to run. And he says here, this is the real key thing, I think. Running requires strict training. And spiritual training is an activity, it's not an attitude. It's not you thinking to yourself, you know, wouldn't it be nice if I was more spiritually conditioned, if I was more spiritually minded? It sure would be nice to be more godly. Spiritual training is actually with your body, in the skin that God has given you, living out the way the call he has on your life. It's an activity, not an attitude. I think we can all agree, boy, it'd be great if I could run 26 miles. Or some of you, it'd be great if I could run a quarter mile. But we'd never actually get out on the track and try it. And typically, this has been my experience, I would try to get in shape for the basketball season when I was in high school and college about 2 days beforehand. And you know what? I would just make myself kind of sore and kind of miserable right before I was going to be doing a lot of running. It didn't make a lot of sense. And sometimes we have these stops and these starts. You know, maybe around the new year, or maybe we felt really convicted about something, and for 2 days we're going to hit it hard. And then we get discouraged, or we feel like, you know, this is kind of difficult. I'm depriving myself of things, or I'm doing things I wouldn't normally do, and then we just drop it. Okay, I tried that. It's not for me. Well, I don't think that it's really an optional thing for us. And so Paul is basically saying, if you want to run free, you got to be in the strict training. Not just you training yourself a little bit here and there, but strict training. Training that actually is going to train you for godliness. And just to reiterate, we're talking about the things that involve our body, our life in the physical world, the things we do in life. Your spiritual life isn't just what happens in your mind. It is also how it is lived out in your body as you live and move throughout the world. To run the Christian race is to take on the mantle of discipleship so that we might train to receive the crown of glory. You want to talk about the benefits of discipline? I shouldn't have to sell it to you. Scripture is replete with hints and teachings about what God has in store for those who have been faithful to him. That should be more than enough motivation for us to run the race and to want to run it well. So what types of things are we talking about? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. This is not a comprehensive list, nor is it, I mean, we could probably quibble about does this really belong or not, or are there more things than this? I'm just using a template that Dallas Willard put out in his book, The Spirit of the Disciplines. I thought it was helpful for me. So with that caveat, I'll just put them up there and just as a discussion point, just for something for you to think about. So a few sermons ago, we talked about the disciplines of abstinence and engagement. So the disciplines of abstinence are listed as solitude, silence, fasting, frugality, charity, secrecy, and sacrifice. We could probably talk. I'm not going to go through all 16 in that sermon series, but it's an interesting study if you'd like to do that. I just want to take a moment to talk about this one here. Okay, this is what I'm trying to get across about discipleship and discipline. Some people are just naturally cheap. They don't want to spend any money ever. So it's not really a discipline for them to not spend any money because, oh, I'm already doing that. Okay? But for some people who maybe spend more money than they should, or, you know, they see something, they really want to get it. They overextend themselves. There's problems with credit or debt, or they buy something, they feel guilty about it. They realize maybe they shouldn't have. Like, frugality is a discipline. It's something that we would have to take on if we want to really lead that godly life, if we want to be good stewards of what God has given us. And, you know, the same could be true for some other things up here. I just choose that one as an example. So these are the disciplines of abstinence. And then we have what are called the disciplines of engagement. And these are the ones we're a little more familiar with. They tend to get emphasized a little more in usual Bible class teachings or, you know, Bible studies or sermons. Study, worship, celebration, service, prayer, fellowship, confession, and submission. You notice I haven't done any ranking or anything like that. Obviously, some are more important than others. I think the intensity of the scriptural teaching teaches us that. So the first one I would like to talk about starting next week is prayer. How's our prayer life? What is our prayer life? Do we have a prayer life? These are, I think, important questions to consider. But are we really engaged in the active employment of these things in our lives? And I'm going to sort of frame all this as we close things here today by having us maybe think a little bit differently about our spiritual walk. When I say differently, just changing the lens a little bit. So Ben already mentioned this passage. I think we should turn there. If we could turn to Hebrews chapter 12 as well. It's a pretty famous passage on discipline and what it means, and we're not going to be able to explore all of it today just because of the interest of time, but there are a couple of things I think that are really worthy of examination. The writer of Hebrews says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith. For the joy set before him, he endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinners, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. In your struggle against sin, you have not yet resisted to the point of shedding your blood. And have you completely forgotten the word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, 'My son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son.'" Okay. This passage distills, and I think is complementary to the passage we read before. Well, how do you really run? How do you really run? And this passage highlights two things that have to happen if we're going to really chase after, if you will, Christ. If we're going to set our eyes and run the race that he's leading us on. We need to throw off the sin that entangles, and we need to throw off everything that hinders. And I want you to notice those are not listed as the same thing, okay? So the first one, number one there, seems like a no-brainer. Okay, yeah, we need to stop sinning. If there's sin in our life, we talked about that. There needs to be confession. There needs to be an honest reckoning of what's going on in our lives. We need to bring that before God, or we need to bring it to our brothers and sisters and really lay that out. This is really hindering my race. This is really an obstacle, an unnecessary one that God wants to remove out of my life. So number one's a no-brainer. But I want you to think about number two. And that is a tougher question. What does it mean to throw off everything that hinders? The question isn't, is this thing that I am doing bad? The question becomes, is this thing helping me run? And that's a difficult thing. It took me a while to learn, and I'm still learning it in my Christian life. When I was a young Christian, it was always, how much can I actually do and get away with without feeling bad about it? So the Christian life, yeah, there's some things I know I need to refrain from, but there's also all these other things I want to do in life, and there's other things I want to fill my life with every day. Where's the line? How far can I push it until I know that I'm actually doing something wrong? And what this scripture is saying, that's the exact wrong approach. You're not always flirting with the line of how far can I go before I have to start feeling guilty about this. It really is asking the question, is this thing that I've allowed into my life, is it helping me run? So that changes the lens, doesn't it? Okay, so I'm not trying to make a rationalization or a justification for a big part of my life. I'm actually asking myself, you know, I'm running a race here. Is this something that I should be doing? And if we saw, you know, Ben Husty training for his marathon, he's got a box of donuts while he's running, we might say, well, that's an interesting approach. And I suppose one could do that if one wanted to run, but why would you do that? I mean, that's the kind of thing I would like to do if I ran, and give me a little more incentive. But to be honest, that's kind of the mixed messages we give ourselves in our spiritual lives sometimes. I understand that godliness is my goal. I get that up here, but with my body, I want to carry the box of donuts with me. This is something that I think that would be very practical if you are finding yourself challenged by what God is telling us here today. I think maybe you should make a list of how you spend your typical day. Make an account, if you will, of your minutes and your seconds and your hours. And I want you to ask yourself, if you made that list, is this thing helping me run? Then, I want you to ask yourself, if it's not, what could possibly replace those things in a way that would help me run faster? A lot of us, we're all struggling with this, I think. As I talk to people, I think. And if you don't struggle with it, that's wonderful. You can be someone who's going to be one of the runners who's going to train us in how to run better. But a very simple reality of today's world is that we live in a world of distraction. Distraction. Everything is background noise. Everything is something to do. And the TV can be background noise. Social media can be a background noise. The iPad, the iPhone, the screen time. Background noise. Distraction. Little things we do that take up seconds and minutes. And before we know it, hours. And then if you add them up, it's days. Then if you add up the days, it becomes weeks. And then it becomes months. And you ask yourselves the question, did this help me run? And if the answer is yes, I mean, Ben said, you can't be hitting it 40 miles every day. But if the answer is no, then do we have the spiritual discipline necessary to find a way to follow Christ more closely? It's not just distraction. It can be food. It can be music. It can be shopping. It can be any type of relationship that seems to be lodging a lot of thought life and time. These are things that are realities. So the writer of Hebrews is posing for us the solution. We have to fix our eyes on Jesus. Okay? But we can't just look at Jesus and also think about all the things that are entangling us, either the sin or the things that hinder us. And so as we set out on this journey together, starting with our prayer lives, and most people, I think, if you ask them, is your prayer life a robust time of you and God together? Is it something you look forward to? Is it something that the minutes go longer than what you had anticipated as you began your time with God? Most people probably would say, it's not been my experience. It's a lot easier to play a game on your phone than to pray to the living God. It is. Is it helping you run? Now, as part of this, we have tried to bring out to the church that we really feel that this is not an isolated process, that those of you who are supposed to go out there and do it alone, come back to us and report the results. Discipleship means training each other. There's a mutuality there. Ben talked about accountability. It helps if there's someone who's running with you. And I think we've all found that in life. It is a help when someone is running with you. Who is that person going to be in your life if you find that you're not running well? And so, practically speaking, if you're not sure how to approach your brother and sister about his or her spiritual life, or if you're not sure how you want to be approached, I think this is a very simple, non-threatening way to approach it. How's the race going? Have you been running? If the answer is, boy, I got mile marker 3. I got bogged down. We can talk about it. Maybe this will be a more non-threatening way than someone really getting into your business and you feeling about it. We're all running together. We're all around the track. We're all out on the road, hitting the pavement. How's it going? How's your race? Have you found that you've been running? Are you running as lightly as you can run? Have you cast off everything that you can cast off? Or are you still got a parka on and some combat boots and a box of donuts? How are we running? There's practical, the Bible gives us so many practical ways to think about these things. There is a fount of information and knowledge and instruction and teaching and admonition that we can go to the Bible for. But you have to want to run. You have to want to be more Christ-like, more than you want anything else. And I pray that God's Spirit works in us so that that would be a true desire, and that we can truly evaluate the way we're spending our seconds, our minutes, and our hours for Him, so that we can run the race and win the crown. I pray that God blesses His word.